Okay, sweetheart, so let's start. No, you have, did you have one
Number
more?
Six.
Mm-hmm. And say its name, Eric, and look into his eyes.
Eric, I don't ever want to miss out
okay,
on...
Okay, now feel your face. There's an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, without the attitude. This is your beloved.
Eric.
Okay. So now we're into the teacher. So, you know, just right out of your heart, expecting nothing from him. Just express this thought with him. There's nothing dearer than giving another person your belief system. You know, there's nothing else that's valuable to you.
Eric, I don't ever want to miss out on the baby batter and the opportunity to carry
your
child.
Okay, your face again. Find it for yourself. The way you were holding your face, was there an attitude?
I didn't feel it.
Okay, again.
Eric, I don't ever want to miss out on the baby batter and the opportunity to carry your child and live life more fully.
Thank you.
If I were you, I'd just be melting in love right now. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a baby. But, you know, how did you take that in? She wants to have your child.
Well, this has been an ongoing discussion, as you might imagine. And I have fear around starting a family at 50. And more than anything, the way I'm responding to this is I'm so looking forward to how this plays out. I'm looking forward to this conversation having more of a resolution than the conversations we've had up to now. So I'm looking forward to where this takes us. I haven't heard anything new as of yet, and I'm anticipating the journey.
Let's read the last one again. Eric,
I don't ever want to miss out on the opportunity to carry your child and live life with you more fully.
Thank you.
Now tell me one place where that has to do with you. That had zero to do with you. She wants to have your child. I just find that the dearest, dearest, dearest. The
end. And she just wants to try.
I hear that. A little bit of stuff going on. This does not threaten how you see this issue at all. This is about her. Just hearing her and just hearing her. Okay, all right, let's start at the top. Eric?
Read to him.
Uh-huh.
Eric, I'm saddened at you because you don't share my desire to be open to procreating, and my time is becoming more and more limited.
So he doesn't share your desire to?
Procreate.
To procreate, is that true?
Yes.
He doesn't share your desire to procreate. Can you absolutely know that it's true?
No.
How does that feel? She doesn't get it. I get you don't have a desire to procreate.
No.
And I'm getting that she doesn't get that. I mean, that's an amazing tip-off for you. She doesn't get it. No wonder she keeps trying and trying. She doesn't get it. That's pure innocence.
Am I not being clear? Or?
Well, I think you're being very clear, and she doesn't get it. I feel I'm very clear, and everyone doesn't get it. But it always works for me because I'm only dealing with one person. So Eric doesn't want to procreate with you. How do you react when you think that thought? What happens?
My mind runs pretty rampant. What does that mean? What am I going to do? Is having a child with him more important than our relationship and staying with him, and I'm 40 years old and I can't.
Well, did you answer the question? Is having a child more important than your relationship with him? That sounds like an intelligent question.
I don't have an answer.
Well, I do. It's not. You're with him and you're not pregnant. It's not.
Yeah.
Not in this moment. Anything else? How do you react when you think the thought, Eric doesn't want to procreate with me? How do you treat Eric when you think that thought?
Yeah, not very nice. I withdraw. I withdraw. I go into self. Yeah. Leave the house, go for a run, walk away, shut down.
And who would you be without the thought, Eric doesn't want to procreate with me? Who would you be without the thought in a relationship with Eric without that thought? Just the way he is. He's not the man of your dreams, he's Eric. You know, we have the man of our dreams, and then we have who we're with. And until they live up to our dreams, we punish. We cannot stand when our dream does not come true. So we pick one and we try to shape them to match our dream. You know, that's a dream world. There's your dream, then there's Eric. Who would you be without the thought, Eric does not want to procreate with me?
More playful, more fun, more interactive, more involved.
Eric doesn't want to procreate with me. Turn it around.
Eric doesn't want to procreate. I don't want to procreate with me.
Obviously. You don't collect sperm somewhere else and do it.
I don't want to procreate with Eric. That doesn't feel very true.
Well, why wouldn't you want to procreate with Eric? You bring in a baby, he doesn't. He doesn't want it. There's one example. Mm-hmm. I don't want to procreate with Eric.
Because he doesn't want that.
So you would bring a baby into that?
Yeah, no.
That's all about you. Mm-hmm. At the baby's expense, so your dream can come true.
My mind is going to, well, he didn't want dogs either. And how do we like the dogs?
Good point. You see, I cannot tell you where I am with that. You know, because I have to really stay in what's true for me. Don't know. So another example of I don't want to procreate with Eric. Your pregnancy would not be a real good time.
Maybe.
So find some examples that are genuine for you.
Well, certainly the birth itself would not be a real good time. If there,
this is about with Eric.
I don't know.
I don't want to procreate with Eric.
I may sit with that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, another turnaround. I don't want to procreate with Eric.
I don't want to procreate with Eric. Eric doesn't want to procreate with me.
Yeah, so ask him why.
Well, that was the original, right? Eric doesn't want to procreate with me. So why? That's a good question.
So the communication is, honey, I really hear that, and why? Let's talk about it.
My fears are, one, my age being 50, starting at 50. Two, one of the most difficult times I've had is parenting your son that I met at the age of 5. I thought I would be a good parent, and I had a tremendously difficult time, as you know, getting along with your son. That has dampened my enthusiasm quite a bit. And at other times I had thought that was something I wanted to do, and at this point in my life it's something I'm feeling fear about. I'm not ready at this time. I'm not. Feeling a desire to do that. And you're welcome to continue discussing it with me.
And I think I knew those. We've talked about all of those.
Okay, so can you find another turnaround?
No.
Eric does. want to procreate with me.
Eric does want to procreate?
Don't you know, you look so shocked. It's just a turnaround. I'm hearing he's open to it, and right now he's fearful. Mm-hmm. That he's open to further discussion.
He's open to discussion.
Uh-huh. And that he's fearful. Okay, this is the next one.
I want you to find some enthusiasm in creating life.
So Eric should find some enthusiasm around this, procreating life.
No.
And how do you react when you believe that and he is not enthusiastic?
I shut down. I'm pretty good at that.
And how do you treat him? You shut down, and what else?
I get busy with other things in life. I find other things to become busy with.
So you distance?
Rapidly.
And who would you be in this relationship without the thought?
I would be enthusiastic in our lives. I would be what I want him to be.
Yeah. And turned around?
I want me to find enthusiasm in creating life. I don't want Eric to find enthusiasm in creating life. If he does, he does.
Yeah, it's up to you to find the enthusiasm in life. Yeah, to be enthusiastic about, he's fearful of having a child now. To enthusiastically be together as you work through it. And if it's yes, enthusiastic. If it's no, enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. That's what you're expecting him to do in the same situation. Mm-hmm. The next one.
Eric should understand that my time is limited and his is not.
So ask him if he understands that your time is limited.
Do you understand that my time is limited?
Yes. And I am reminded regularly.
So did you notice just a little defense there?
I was going for the laughs.
So ask him, you know, if he really gets that.
Do you really get that? I mean, do you really get that?
Yes, and there's been several instances where you've shared with me this is the most important thing on your contemplation list. This is what you think about. I'm clear on your level of commitment and concern, and you are communicating effectively that this is significant to you.
Okay.
So just turn that one around.
I should understand my time is limited.
Mm-hmm.
He should not understand my time is limited?
Yeah. It's not his clock running out.
Mm-hmm.
He's not holding that for himself. Next one.
He should do the work like he suggests others to do about his fears of having a child.
So ask him if he's up for that.
Are you up for that?
I'm doing it now.
Really?
Well, you know, actually, Eric, to write down all your fears about having a baby, and the two of you, you know, do the work on that, or one belief at a time worksheet, you know, to just really do it personal within yourself. You know, we can absolutely lose our fear of having a child, raising a child. Absolutely lose our fear, and it still doesn't mean that's what we want. But to live in a fearful state, it's just unnecessary, because it's just unnecessary for you to live in the world afraid of anything. It's almost like we use fear to keep from, as though we're gonna do what we don't want to do out of integrity, that we need to say no out of fear. So you know the work, and to really, you know, one-liners would be my relationship with this child would be the same as my relationship with
Andrew. With
Andrew would be the same with this child. You know, all of these things, you know, they're all up for you. You know, these things that you're fearing, and it doesn't mean it wouldn't be similar, but to walk yourself through it and open to all your fears. Because it could be you get pregnant and then fearful people become angry, resentful, and then a child is born into that environment. And you know too much for that. You know the key, you have the key to freedom. So ask it again.
Are you up for walking through this fear?
I am willing to do the work on my fears around having children.
Thank you.
Are you willing to do the work on...
I'm up here. Yes.
Okay, so listening?
Sorry. Interrupting.
See, that's so lovely to start over. You notice, apologize, open.
You were asking me a question that I so lovingly interrupted.
You're doing the work on my shortcoming, not on... That's the way it works, isn't it? Never mind.
Yeah. Great. He solved that one himself.
Okay.
The next one?
Is this a turnaround?
This is the next concept?
Next concept is a need. I need you to want to raise a child of our own.
Is that true?
No.
So look at Eric.
No.
And tell Eric how you react when you believe that thought, that you need a child of your own, the two of you. And
wow.
He won't, and he's not up for it. How do you react? How do you treat him when you believe the thought that you need that?
Yeah, I don't want to interact a whole lot. And the interactions become very short. If we're working on something together, it's a quick statement rather than a more loving experience together.
Anything else?
Yes, the thoughts flood about what should I do? Should I stay in this relationship? Should I leave the relationship? Should I move on? And then I go to, this is the person I love. This is the person I've chose. This is who I want to be with. So then there's a load of conflict. And then I get short again.
And then those two words.
Thank you. I didn't know that you were thinking about dissolving the relationship as a alternative.
They're thoughts, not reality.
Okay, now get out of teaching and just own it.
I do.
Thank you for sharing.
Anything else?
No.
Look at him. Anything else?
No.
Thank you.
So who would you be without this story? I need to have a child of our own. Who would you be in your relationship with Eric without that thought?
I would be closer to you. I wouldn't distance myself, which seems to be my running theme. No pun intended. I would stay present.
The next
thing. It occurs to me that if we could both stay present in our relationship, maybe I wouldn't have the fears around having a baby.
Yeah. Thank you. And maybe I wouldn't want a baby.
We don't know.
We don't know. Next one.
In a moment. How do you react when you believe that thought? Everything you named, and then we wonder why they don't want to have children with us. It's scary.
Yeah.
It scares you, it scares him. But as long as we believe what we're thinking, we react out of that mm-hmm. belief. And then we get into winning and losing, and you know, to have on and on. The next one.
I need him to see he's good enough to do this. I need you to see you're good enough to do this.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You need him to see that. Is it true?
No.
And how do you live, how do you react, how do you treat Eric when you believe this?
Oh, I get really mad at him.
That'll teach him he's good enough. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I give you the look.
Mm-hmm. I get the look.
So turn it around.
I don't need him to see he's good enough to do this. I need me to see I'm good enough to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I need me. Another turn around.
Me to see
that he is.
Me to see he's good enough to do this. Yes. Yes, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And to treat him as someone that's good enough to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I good enough not to do this?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Do you believe her?
She answered very quickly. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure you, I sat with it long enough.
Yeah. Could you be certain that I would be enough without having a baby? Mm. Are you certain that this is a relationship you would want to be in, even if we eventually chose not to have a baby? Would you be satisfied or would you resent?
So one at a time. One at a time. Yeah.
the answers I want to make.
What's the first question? Yeah.
Well, the turnaround of this.
The turnaround
of this. So I need me to realize that Eric is good enough to do this. I need me to realize Eric is good enough to do this. And then Eric said, am I good enough? Basically, do you realize I'm good enough if I don't do this? And I put in, do you realize, because it was in the words mm-hmm. as a turnaround. And I think he was closer to, am I good enough?
For you without the child.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Eric is, you are, I am, stubborn, selfish, non-understanding.
So in this turnaround, Eric, when I expect you to do, you know, to want to procreate with me. I am
stubborn.
And turn to him and give him your list. I'm stubborn.
When I expect this of you, mm-hmm. I am stubborn. I am selfish. I am non-understanding. I am self-absorbed. I am powerful.
Powerful enough to end the relationship.
Mm. I am old.
And you're powerful enough to make the relationship miserable?
Mm.
You're powerful enough to make you miserable?
Yes. I am old. I am serious. And I am living small.
Thank you for your turnarounds.
Number six.
And Eric, I'm willing to.
And Eric, I am willing to miss out on the opportunity to carry your child. How am I going to do that? And live more fully? And live
well,
more
you're
fully.
Doing it every day.
Yes. Yes.
It's just as you're doing it, are you happy or miserable?
Mm-hmm. Only when I get caught up in the thoughts. I look forward to missing out, as I'm sure you do too.
Because as long as you're missing out, you know, it shows you what's left to question. So that leaves you a happy life, whether you have children or not.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from Eric is, you know, a really lovely relationship. It's a very different experience when you're considering a child.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Eric. Wow, so you're going to do the work on your fears around having a child. Yeah. Wow. I love that you get free of it, and then you just come out of it with a fearless no, or a balanced you and you. Wow, okay. So if Eric had written a worksheet on Debbie, then she would facilitate him and he would facilitate her. And so you can be very invested in this, you know, and so the invitation is to really stick with, you know, follow the simple directions and notice how you want to defend and justify and move back into that work. And those of you that don't have partners up for this, you can ask them if they're open to it, write a worksheet on them, and then give them the four questions and turn around, read it to them, and ask them just to ask you the questions with each concept. In other words, rather than me asking, is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? It would be Eric facilitating Debbie. Okay. Thank you, too. You're just incredible. Thank you. Conflict resolution. You know, if judges had this clarity, it's over. You know, you come from reality, and then the law is so clear. Yes.
Hi, Katie and Eric. Today, somebody tell me I'm 54 years of age, and this day next week, I go for a vasectomy reversal to have a baby with Anne. And I think we have a few fears around that Anne has, so we would like to do the work on it.
So have you both written worksheets?
Yes.
Good.
It's not about the vasectomy reversal, it's just...
You've written a worksheet on her, and she's written a worksheet on you?
Yes.
Okay, so let's see what you've written.
Okay.
You know, let's hold off just for a moment, okay? Okay, anyone else? Yes.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to my bride of 38 years, Kathy. It's our 38th wedding anniversary tonight. And we're not contemplating having any more children, thank God. We have two beautiful daughters, one of them with us too.
Wow, that's great.
I want to thank the last couple, and I want to share. They described the exact situation that I've been in for 20 years. And this year, I threw my husband out after the baby issue. I decided that the baby was more important than the man. And so I finally resolved that. It was a long time coming, and I'm coming out of that. I'm done with the crying. 43 years old. I'm going to have a baby this year, no matter what. Adoption, donor eggs, surrogate, no matter what. I'm going to solve my issue. And I'd like to suggest that she freezes her eggs, because at 40, your eggs are going downhill rapidly. And I've spent $100,000 to know that. Thank you.
Wow, so you just have a $100,000 tip. ladies, freeze your eggs.
After hearing the last couple, I felt such warmth in my heart because I married my husband when he was 49 and I was 27. And I had two children already, and so did he. And I just desperately wanted to have a baby with him. I never actually realized how grateful I am for him being absolutely as equally as happy about it. Then we went on to have three mistakes. And I ended up desperately angry and unhappy. I was just a walking example of how every form of birth control failed. Mm-hmm. And there I was, pregnant with my sixth child, and my husband developed cancer, and he died 2 months after my last baby was born. So there I was, aged 42, 43, six kids, no husband, tiny baby, a two-year-old, and kind of, it was awful. This was 10 years ago. I'm not the person I was then. So I've spent the last 10 years. I was so angry with him because the last baby, I felt he'd persuaded me to have sex, and I'd said he couldn't come near me unless he was swathed in rubber. And I'd said, okay. And I was so angry with him. And he died, and we were still embittered. Because I wanted him to say he was sorry for doing this to me. And he became so ill, and I thought he was putting it on at first because I needed him to help with the children, and he couldn't, and I just thought, this is awful. You know, done this to me, and it was just, I didn't have the work then, obviously. And I've had a lot of stories about this, and my son, who is now 12, I had a lot of bitterness towards him. He was 2 years old when my husband died, and he just became so withdrawn, and he didn't want me to kiss him, and it was like our family just fell apart. And I had a little baby that cried all the time, and she had to go into hospital. She was really ill, and then I nearly died 2 years later, and my children had to go to friends while I recovered. And it was, you know, I went from being what I considered a good member of society to someone who was a needy, problem family. My teenagers were going wild, and, you know, we nearly had to bring CCTV into our local town when my teenage daughters were rampant. And, you know, that's about the only social thing that they managed to contribute to at the time. And it was just hell. And
some people just have asthma.
Yeah. And anyway, the work found me because it healed me of my relationship with my son, who I'd lost my love for and everything when he was about 7. And I've continued to do the work. And I've watched my family just coming together, and I have, you know, and I've rationalized, I've done the work on my husband dying, and I've done all this, and there was still, as I was listening to these stories, it was the couple, it was like, oh my God, he might die, and then she'd be in the same situation as me. And how awful that would be.
How you doing, Eric? How you doing, Debbie? No, Eric's for it. Debbie's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, I better not tell them this. And then I just felt this enormous warmth just come over me because... And it was so healing because I was just feeling such gratitude towards Peter, my late husband. I have these beautiful children. And I've never said thank you to him. I wasn't able to say thank you to him for my last daughter. All I did was rage at him until he fell so ill. And then we were so distant, it was impossible. He was in agony and I was looking after all these babies, and it was a nightmare,
well,
you know?
Never too late, is it?
I know. So I'm so surprised. You know, after the, I mustn't say anything. So scare them too. Thank you so much for an unexpected and very powerful healing.
Did you find the place on where on you were angry at him for getting you pregnant? Mm-hmm. Did you find the place to take responsibility for that?
Let me think.
Who said yes?
Well, I did say yes in the end, after a lot of pressure.
Well, that's all we're talking about. You didn't get pregnant until the end.
Yes. I mean, I still...
He could beg and beg and beg and beg, and who made the decision to say yes?
Well, it was me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just ends there.
Yeah. Do you know,
and
I have...
You know, it's this is so important because if you don't take responsibility for it, you blame Peter, and you can never get over it until you look at your part. Yeah. We're busy looking at other people's part and how they wronged us.
Yeah.
Trying to remain innocent, and we cannot
until
we look at our part. You said yes, the end.
And I'm just, I've got a little stick, kind of a hook there.
We usually do.
And I said yes because I didn't want the... What was it? Can't think what the word is. Kind of his withdrawal, his hurt.
You said yes because you didn't want him to be hurt.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter why you said yes. You said yes.
Yeah.
So if you look at your life today, who are you still saying yes to because you don't want to hurt their feelings?
Yeah. Quite, yes, that's
until
still
you
there.
Take responsibility for it, it's just, we just live our lives as prostitutes.
Yeah.
Men and women.
Yeah.
Saying yes when our internal is really clear, a clear no. And we don't take responsibility for it. It's really hell. And again, when you can really own that, it ends. People want something, they become sad, and so I hear that, and no. Is there something else we can do about this? In other words, there are other options. There are a lot of other options, especially in that arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them, interesting.
Yeah.
And all of those options don't include pregnancy. So when you look at your last child, you can thank you both.
Yeah. And she is just the most amazing and beautiful.
Well, have you thanked you for your yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it extraordinary?
Thank you, precious.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
I want to thank you, Eric and Debbie, to showing the process that I realize when I'm in relationship with a man, and I'm the one who shut down when Debbie was saying, you know, when communication didn't, you know, man was clearly communicating, but I couldn't get it, and I just keep doing the same thing and over and over, and I had the same pattern that I shut down, and you know, then I separate. I'm the one who separated with the man and in relationship. So I really, tonight or sometime, I really work with the relationship with my father that really up with me. That little child in me just still decided in a long time ago that I no longer want him.
that I really wanted him.
That's how I just
now I'm realizing it. I just really be in this state and I really want to do the work.
Oh, that's beautiful, sweetheart. Welcome to love. So welcome to love.
I'm embarrassed about asking this question. I have a practical question about conflict resolution. My boyfriend told me yesterday that I contradict him a lot. I have no problem finding that. My problem, my question is a practical one. He has his facts wrong.
He has his...
The facts are wrong. It's just, car has four cylinders, car has six cylinders. He says six, it has four. What do I do if I say no?
So what is the conversation? Let's have the same conversation, only I'll take on your role in that conversation.
Okay.
So give me the circumstances. What are we doing, driving down the road?
We had a test drive for a car for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, so now let's do the conversation.
Okay, so we're discussing the car, and he says, well, it's a good car. It has six cylinders. Mm. No, it has four. So
let's do the conversation.
Okay, so that car has six cylinders.
Well, you know, sweetheart, you could be right, and I see in my experience it's four.
Well, there you go, contradicting me again.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, and stepping outside our role play for a minute.
But he might not say that I was contradicting him because I said you could be right. And I didn't say that because I'm a nice person. I have been known to be wrong.
See, I knew I was right. Mm-hmm. We actually drove up to the back to the dealership and checked. That's what it came to.
I still maintain that in this dream, the strangest things happen.
Okay.
Have you noticed that you are positive and it turns out to not be so? You know, I invite you to be gentle with yourselves and in your conversations, and you could be right is true. It's not a courtesy.
Okay.
And my experience is it's four. And then he gets to win, and you have... You've been as helpful as you can be. It's over.
Okay. And so, as these things pile up in a day, because this is just a style of his, he gets the gist, but the details, it's just not his thing. So, I don't want to be argumentative. I don't
Well, I'm not hearing that as an argument. The conversation we just had was not an argument.
Okay, so I just leave space for the possibility that I'm wrong, which does happen.
That's wonderful to recognize.
Absolutely, and then state my experience without stuffing that.
Just state it. You know, my experience is it's a four cylinder. It's okay. Over.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so over. And then he does what he does with it. But as a kind, caring human being, you know, if it's my mother's car, his mother's car that we're considering, I'm going to be as helpful as I can be. He doesn't have to appreciate it.
Okay.
That's my part.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Really look at winning and losing. It's lethal. You know, when I win, I win. When I lose, I win. you know, when.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I have this problem that I'm always looking forward to something and not being in the moment, and I know the work can help with that, but it's like, even when I'm sitting in here, I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do for dinner? Or what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? And even when I do the work about somebody else, I don't want to write bad things about them because I know I'm going to turn it around on myself.
Well, to turn it around it's about peace. It's about self-realization, about waking up to, I am that, or opening to consider it, and just to be open to it. But those four questions first are so important, because just to turn it around, it just, you know, it's just spinning, and it just can fill you with guilt, because the work is about self-realization, not about blame.
Right.
Yeah. And as far as like being one place and wondering what are you going to have for dinner, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and all of that. So where do you think you're going after this?
I don't know.
Well, what is your head? It gives you images and thoughts. And
yeah.
So what is your plan?
I'm just thinking, well, should I go to the hotel room, or where should I go find my food, or, you know. Uh-huh. And it's on a larger scale, too, like, what am I going to do when I graduate from college? I can't stop thinking.
So you need to know what you're going to do
yeah.
when you graduate from college. Is that true?
No.
No one does. Some of them have certain beliefs about it, and they get to be right. Some of them have certain beliefs about it, and it doesn't happen. You need to know what to do after you graduate. How do you react when you believe that thought and you have no clue?
I feel really stressed out and confused because I'm not really sure.
And who would you be in college, in your life, here in this room, without the thought, I need to know what to do after college?
I'd be a lot more able to focus on what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, and who would you be? Like, they give you your diploma, all the hats are thrown in the air. Who would you be without the thought, I need to know what to do after graduation?
A lot more at peace.
You need to know what to do after graduation. Turn it around.
I don't need to know what to do after graduation.
So give me an example of why that is as true or truer.
Because knowing that right now is not going to change anything about my life.
No. Can you find another example?
Because even if I know it, it's probably not true, or it might not
be true.
Yeah,
it's not. Is that a way of saying it's not possible to know what
right.
you're going to do after you graduate?
Because even if I thought I knew, that might not even be true.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
So you put all of that energy into what you're going to do after you graduate, wondering what you're going to do. And if you absolutely settle on something, I hear from you, you can't know that it's true. It's
right.
not after graduation yet. So that just leaves you to be in peace, because you
yeah.
can't know anyway. That sounds kind.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, it's just like you need to know what to do.
Yeah.
At the end of this session, you need to know what to do. It works exactly the same way as what you just walked through. You have all kinds of plans, and you can't know. Can't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just so you know, I just thought I'd share with you, because I am a recent graduate, and I spent a lot of time during my undergraduate years wondering if I was doing the right thing, and constantly questioning whether or not I was, and basically the only thing that left me was constantly questioning. And I actually didn't find out what it was that I wanted to do until I started living in the moment. And looking back on it, I wish that I would have done that sooner, because I look at all the possibilities that I passed up, and I don't know that different fields would have been my calling. I just don't know that now, and I feel like I've left that behind. And I don't want to, like, I do want to say that the path that I'm on right now, I'm a teacher and I love it, and I would never change that. But at the same time, I don't know that I would have been someone different if I wasn't in that moment when I was doing psychology and astronomy and physics and all these other things. I don't know that those wouldn't have been my path. So live in the moment. It's much more worth it.
Thank you. There's so many options in the moment. Unlimited. Unlimited moment. Options, options, options.
Yeah. I want to share that I have felt, when my daughter said no to me, when I asked her if I could come out, when I started talking this morning, I was talking about saying no and the empowerment I felt by saying no, which seemed to be my truth. And how awesome it is that my daughter could find her truth and say, no, Mom, I don't want to see you. The time is not right.
Well.
And I just feel such love for that. And I do know my daughter loves me. Yeah. And she said we have more work to do, and I do have more work to do.
Always the beginning.
Yes. And this is the freest I have felt of these things with my daughter now for a couple of years. And I will just focus on my work. And I don't have to worry about anything else. Thank you so much for giving that to me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for receiving it. This beautiful young woman that was working on her mother earlier today, after the session on... It was just so dear to just hold her in my arms, and she whispered to me, this is the first time in my life that I have ever wanted to hug my mother. Whoa. Shocking. And it's all we ever wanted. And what we're believing is the obstacle we hold between us. That's all. You hold that. If I'm not close to you, I look to me. I question what I believe about you, it drops, and love lives. It's just the awareness of love. Love always lives, yes. Mm-hmm.
I gather you're taking general comments now, so I would like to thank you for something you said early this morning that I found very helpful. And I thought if I explained how I translated what you said to myself, it might help other people do the same thing. What I think I remember you said was just very quickly went by, that if something happened to a particular person, they would still be, or whether it happened or not, they would still be the same person. They would still, I think you said something about shopping, and that caught my ear. And so the translation that I made was, whether or not the relationship that I'm trying to get established back home occurs, I would still be the same person. I would still do the same grocery shopping. I've been retired for 3 years, so I would still do my woodworking. I would still do my painting. I would still do my gardening. I would still do all the same things. I would still be the same person. And I'm finding that very helpful, so thank you.
You're falling into who you would be without your story. You know, it's like chop wood, carry water.
Oh, chopping wood is another thing.
It's like before the work, chop wood, carry water. After the work, chop wood, carry water. two totally different experiences. One, you love it, and the other, not quite so pleasant.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I've done a piece on my mom, and I would like to do it with you in your parlor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else while she's coming up here? Yes.
Well,
there we go.
What microphone
it is.
Stand up to make it work.
Two things when Eric and Debbie were talking that I was thinking. One was that when she said, I should understand, one of the possible turnarounds was I should understand my time is limited with Eric, which sort of follows what you were saying. You know, that Eric could disappear in a minute and that time is precious. And the other thought I had was about other ways to procreate together. And I realize this is, you know, these are just my thoughts, but there are lots of ways to procreate that maybe they could explore while they're exploring the baby way. And that sort of follows to me the living in the moment and just what was said over here too about, you know, you're still the same person whether, whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. That's lovely. There's so much we can procreate together. You know, plants and like the dogs, that's not just nothing, you know, and peace.